11, we're still looking at the subject, serving the Lord. So they're serving the Lord. All right, Romans 12, verse 11. In case you only come on Wednesdays, I've been teaching it also on Sundays. Praise the Lord. If you know, oftentimes at this time of the year, we emphasize two things. The vision of the church and also prayer. The importance of the ministry of prayer and service. If you observe that for many years, so it's the normal thing at this time. As we say, as we approach the World Teachers Conference, we usually end a ministry year and begin another one from that conference. And so we emphasize service. Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. The word there is pretense. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Relationship now. The word kindly affection, said on Sunday, is the word philostorgos. Philostorgos. It means to be devoted to someone in love. That means you are devoted to believers. You are devoted to it. And that's the spirit of service. Did you discover that Paul isn't just dealing with the activity of service? He's dealing with the motive of service. You can be in a department, and then you are maybe in the ushering department, and then you are actually ushering people and smiling, but then deep down your heart, you're wishing, just go and sit down somewhere and get out of my face. You know, you can be cleaning the toilets and you're feeling, my God, what kind of human beings are this? You can be singing and you're singing. And then you're not really ministering to anybody, right? You can be doing things in the church. You can be praying. You're in a prayer meeting, and then you're not praying because you are devoted to believers. So he's dealing with the reason why we do things. He says it must not be with pretense, dissimulation. Hallelujah. Let love be without dissimulation. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. The word there is Philadelphia. The love you share with those you came from the same womb. You came from the same womb. Philadelphia. In honor, preferring one another. Now he says in verse 11, not slothful in business. What business there is the word you have diligence, where you have spode. Explain that to you, spode, from where you have spodazo. Do not be slothful. That's two, it uses two opposite words. Do not be slothful in hard work. Can you imagine? Can you be slothful in hard work? It's actually using contrast. Do not be slothful in business. Not talking about transaction. Hallelujah. You know, your business, a man goes to commerce. No, he's talking about in diligence. Diligence. Then he says, fervent in spirit. Now, notice that he had told you earlier on to be kindly affectionate. So, that fervency is not just zeal. That fervency is love, affection. The fervency of the spirit is love for brethren. It's not just that you are shaking like this. You know, that's not, yes, that shows your passion, but you see, the fervency is actually love. Hallelujah. Because people can be fervent for the wrong reasons. Those who stoned Stephen were fervent about it. They gnashed their teeth. That's fervency. But the fervency is referring to here. Those who crucified Christ were fervent. Those who persecuted Paul were fervent. So, but the fervency he's talking about here is love. That is, your love is at the boiling point. And when you serve with love, you don't entertain backbiting in the church. So there's some folks, that's their job. That's their job. Have you discovered that? That in the saints community, they don't want you to marry anybody that is not from saints community. See, when you hear that teaching, it's not in the teaching. Can't you see? This person marry that person. That person marry that person. So who's going to marry me? There are people that's just what they, and they don't know that you don't entertain such things in the house of God. Because the moment you give your attention to things like that, it will affect your fervency in love for the brethren. The church is not a club where we just say, okay, any other matters arise, AOB. What's AOB again? Any other business. Usually if you go for meetings, because I preside over non-spiritual organizations and groups like that, AOB is the longest part of the meeting. You've dealt with the serious issues. Yeah. President, I'll answer them. AOB, okay. And everybody just starts. And then they'll talk for long. Say, let's do AOB. Let's put aside spiritual things. Let's talk. No, you are actually causing problems in the church. Because it's going to affect your love. Praise the Lord. Kenneth Hagin used to say that there are sins of the Spirit. That's how he used to call it. I won't say it that way. But what he calls the sins of the Spirit is your acts out of love. It is those are the most critical sins, motives. And so in serving the Lord, I told you, you don't serve the Lord outside people. What we say, Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ we are talking about is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can't love Christ more than you love His church. Your devotion to Christ is your devotion to His church. Say, I'm devoted to Christ. Say, where is Christ? He's in the Spirit. No. He is the manifestation of the church. Or Christ, sorry, is the church. That's why when he appeared to Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Remember, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Hallelujah. One of the things you deal with in the work of the ministry is your true love for the brethren. Your love for the brethren. I tell our pastors when we talk, I say, look, whatever will affect the overall interest of the flock, don't do it. Because, you see, you can explain yourself and say, you know, this is what I was going through. This somebody said something to me. Somebody, and you know, it's very reasonable for you to explain what you passed through, what somebody said to you, you can explain it. But you see, the reason why you are chosen in leadership is not to operate like that. It's to operate higher than that. You are grumbling just like a new convert. Can you imagine that day they called this person, did not call me, the way they spoke to me? Can you imagine? Can you imagine and all that? And you're saying that. You should operate higher than that. Because you operate with the love of Christ. You operate that way. You don't say, like you say, well, betrayal is an unforgivable sin. You say, betrayal can never be, I'm trying to find words, reimbursed. So I looked at you and I said, reimbursed. There must be a problem somewhere. It can never be, you know, you can say that in the world. But you don't say, betrayer, I can't take it. No. You don't talk like that. You don't talk like that. In the house of God, you don't talk like that. Because you have fervent love. Praise the Lord. And always. You know, I'm just sharing some things I shared with the pastor on Sunday. I said, there are two ways you can look at things in life. And it depends on you. You can see something to complain on. It's a perception. To complain about, to be angry about. Something done to you. Something to revenge about. Something to get angry. And you can also see something that's straining you. Some situations train you. When you see a church member that is very tough, sometimes it's a school for you to learn patience. One of the pastors once complained to me about someone. I said, do you know what you did? Do you know what you did? And we're patient with you. You be patient with others. You are patient with me too. God is patient with all of us. You be patient. So, those circumstances, rather than allow the flesh, see it as an opportunity to build your spiritual life. That's why Paul would say, do all things without murmuring. Philippians 2:14-15. Do it without murmuring, complaining. Hallelujah. You know, Paul once said, this angel of Satan should be taken from me. He said, 3 times I besought the Lord. He said, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul says, therefore, listen now, I will glory. Man, do you know what he was glorying in? Go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12. Glorying in Cain, robbers, near death experience, I will be glorying in it. It was not glorying in sickness, though. It was glorying in man-made commotion, man-made havoc, majority. And glory. That is, by the time he saw it as an opportunity to be strengthened, to strengthen his conviction. So when you see things happen among believers, maybe a believer hurts you or offends you, why not see it as an opportunity for you to mature in the love of God? Because if your love is not tested, how do you know you are walking in love? You cannot walk in love without offense. Let me say it again. You cannot walk in love without offense. You are not walking, you are sitting. Something must be done for you to walk in love. Say, I just thank the love of God is just blowing in my heart, towards what? Nothing. I'm just enjoying the love of God, bros. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's just fervent love. A love that is boiling for the church. So when it says be not okay, I told you about 1 Corinthians 8. And I've spoken. You didn't allow me to even look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12. Now he's talking about love, to love the brethren. He now says, when you sin so against the brethren, let's take it together. 1 Corinthians 8, 12. Let's go. And when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Can you see that? You thought it was the brethren, but you're saying it's against Christ. Hallelujah. Go back to Romans 12. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirits, serving the Lord. The fervency is love. Your love for the church. Serving the Lord. Now look at verse 12. He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. The word tribulation there means trials and affliction. So, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Now look at this. He now says, when it comes to prayer, be constant. Be constant. Hallelujah. He says, when it comes to tribulation, what do you do? Be patient. Tribulation there is the word plipsis in the Greek. Plipsis, T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. It means persecution and distress. He said, persevere. Persevere. There are too many Christians that they don't even want anything that will be that will affect their comforts. Nothing. Oh my God. If tomorrow's service, there will be no air conditioners and there will be no fans. They are not working. Eh? How do we do it? Say, we'll come in now. Ah. All right. Then you call the person. I was in traffic. Some people just like discomfort. Now imagine if such a person is not persecuted for his faith or her faith. At all. I remember as a younger preacher, my dad chased me out of the house. And I was living in an uncompleted building for 2 weeks plus, even more than that. I'll go into that building like I've shown some of you before. I'll go to that building like that. And I'll see a dog in one corner. I say, just stay where you are. Let me sleep where I am. So one day, I was doing some series of meetings in 1994 or 5. And one of the people in the fellowship, they will see me off. 2 weeks meeting. And I was fasting. They thought I was fasting only because I was waiting on the Lord. No, there were two things. I was waiting on the Lord. But at the same time, it was circumstantial. So, I was fasting. And the power of God will move. So, we're coming. And they will see me off. I'll just say, bye-bye. So, they thought I was going home. Bye-bye. So, one of them said, I want to see you off to your gate. I said, don't worry. Don't worry. I said, no. She was suspecting something. I want to see you off. I said, okay, let's go. So I now lose tire. To turn back, said, no. We are going to your gate. I said, actually, I cannot go close to the gate. I said, why? I now told her. I felt really bad. But I shared it. Because I felt, if I have a reward, she has seized it from me. That was my training. So she went to bring food that evening. But I'd already done 2 weeks. Uncompleted building. There was no mattress right on the floor. Because I thanked the Lord for the secondary school I went to. I slept on the bare floor before. Not out of willingness. The guy said, I'm going to destroy all of you. And the guy poured water on the floor. Said, lie down there, naked. And we slept there overnight. So I felt, God has been bringing me through to take me to. So that wasn't a problem. Some people don't like discomfort at all. Praise the Lord. They don't like discomfort at all. And I would go. And the point is that they were shocked that I never came up to talk about it. You know, some people have said, you'll just come to the service the next day and say, you know what I'm going through before I came here? You are looking for pity. She said, they will not give you money. You know what I'm passing through? You know where I slept? But we thank the Lord, you know. I didn't say to anybody. At all. It didn't matter. At all. Some people don't like discomfort at all. My dad took my admission letter once. He said, I will never allow you to go to university this way. I said, no problem. My mom said, are you okay? You know what he said? I said, I heard him. Say, you have to renounce this thing. My father was a prophet. Which Christianity have you received? I said, not alone. You know? You have to understand that. And the love of the church. One time he called me and said, look, I know your problem. I'm your father. Somebody is brainwashing you. You are not like this. He said, somebody is. Tell me the person. I smiled. He said, who is the leader? I said, I'm the leader. He said, you are the leader. You. I said, I'm the one. Hey! So some people, you see, in serving the Lord, you realize it's about the love for the church. Do you want to see people grow up, established in Christ, know the Lord? Then love them. I can't remember the last time I consciously went to pray for myself. I can't remember it. I can't remember that I consciously went to pray for myself. So what about the Pauline prayers? I'll talk about that another day, so I won't confuse you. You know, because you should love, and you check yourself as a pastor, as a leader. Do you love people sincerely? If they don't appreciate it, would you keep loving them? So, in serving the Lord, the love of God must be your fervency. That must be the temperature of what you are doing. Now look at Romans 12 again. Patience in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. We saw that word. It means to be steadfast. And you will see that that was used in Acts 1:14, Acts 2:42, about prayer. Acts 1:14, before the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:42, just after the day of Pentecost. But look at what that word steadfast means. Look at Romans 13:6. Are you in church? Are you in church? For this cause, pay ye tribute also. That's talking about the government. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. That is, that word steadfast is like taking something like a duty. The way you resume at work. You say, you fix a time for prayer. And you say, well, every Tuesday, every Thursday, I'll be praying 2 hours for the church. That's attitude. And then the way you go to work. I'm getting late. It's 7 o'clock. I'm going to reach 7:30. And you know, you are going like that to be there by 7:30. That is that word steadfast. You pray like you are resuming a job. Some of you, prayer chain. They will be calling you 4 o'clock. You set alarm. Ta-da! So if you set alarm to pray, they put it up themselves. They'll call you. For, brother, are you awake? I'm awake. You now set an alarm for 5:25. Oh. Jesus is Lord. I was trying to use an example of people that I know in this church. 5:25. Come. You say, are you awake? Brother. We're in this thing together. We labored fervently in Christ. And you slept off. The way you attend to a job, you have a task ahead. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I tell many of our leaders, you don't get excited when God gives you a job. What are you excited about? In 1998, I think I shared a vision, some of which we are doing now. So as that prophecy was coming out and I shared the vision, some people just said, hey! I said, why are you excited? I was the one talking, they were the one excited. I said, why are you? So I said, no. It calls for work. You are going to have to deny yourself of many things. You don't serve God in convenience. You are going to deny yourself of many things. I said, oh, glory, glory. I said, many of them went cold afterwards. Because they did not take it like steadfast work. Something you do. You do like you resume. You take it like a job, like a duty. Something you are signing in and signing out. Hallelujah. So, prayer is not a reaction. A problem that you are praying. No. Prayer is not a reaction. How we have to pray, brethren. We have to pray. No, we must be praying. Hallelujah. We must be praying. You must be found at your duty post. What did I say? Say it loud. Come on. It's like a duty post. So you are praying. How can you, how many years in Christ, they are urging you to pray? How? You resume at prayer. You resume to pray. Continue instant in prayer. See, I'm steadfast at prayer. So prayer is like office work. Look at Ephesians. Paul. Notice something about Paul. Look at verse. Notice something. Verse 16. I want us to read it together. Ephesians 1:16. Are you there? Are you there? Ephesians 1:16. Are you there?
Alright.
Ephesians 1:16. Let's go. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you where? Alright. Look at Philippians 1. He said, I cease not. Verse 3. Let's take verse 3 and verse 4. Let's go. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Are you there? Colossians 1. Verse 3. Let's go. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always. Pray what? Verse 9. Let's go, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Hallelujah. Do not cease to pray for you. 2 Timothy 1:3. Let's see what it means. Because you can say that, well, what it means by do not cease is once every year. That's the same thing. You see, you have still not ceased. If you do it once every year, you see consistency. 2 Timothy 1:3. Let's go. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. How often? So how often was Paul praying? Night and day. It's like going to an office. Night and day. Someone say, I don't believe in religious prayers. I pray when I want to, just pray with the Father. I just want to, you know, those kind of people, don't make them your close friends. So I just, it's when I just sense in my spirit, oh, that God longs for fellowship. So I just say, oh, my Father. And after 5 minutes, he has slept off. So prayer is not a task. Prayer is not a walk. Prayer is something you enjoy. Oh, prayer is walking in the high level of authority. Where you? Oh. Hallelujah. It's work. You set a time of the day. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying? You want to be praying for your zone, your local church? You set a particular time. Tuesdays, this is not prayer channel. Tuesdays, 4 o'clock. You attend to it like you're going to an office. You have a job. You look at your wristwatch. I have a job by 10. Are you following what I'm saying here? You are serving the Lord. There are many of us who slept where we should be awake. And when we should be sleeping, we are now awake. You slept where you should be awake. Yeah, I don't know. I just woke up at night. I just didn't know what was it. If you don't know what was it, pray. Just what's going on. Just know. I don't know. Christian. Pretend an angel woke you up and pray. Just pretend an angel woke me up and pray. Night and day. So Paul's prayer life was consistent. So I say, we have gotten to the level that what are we praying for? You know, those kind of people are confused. What are we praying for? Because everything belongs to us. So what are we doing now? We're just confessing. We are confessing. You are confessing your confusion. We are confessing and we're declaring. We are declaring. We are declaring. We are declaring. You are declaring. Are you going for election? We are declaring. We are declaring. No. Paul says, you continue. You attend to prayer like you're going to an office. There should be time to tell people, please, you just tell your friends, Can I have just 1 hour? Excuse me. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? Please, I need some time out. Then you go. Jesus practiced that. We saw that last week. He said, look, guys, I need some time. They'll say, they'll see me like I'm too spiritual. How should they not see you too kind of? Someone say, when I was in the rest, someone say, spirit, I said, kada. No, me, I'll return my own. Yes, spirit, I said, kada. So he stopped it. Spirit. Sir, Pastor Sex. He's always in the spirit. You're always in the flesh. Hallelujah. So if you see him, just praying in tongues. You should come now to Mother Earth. Say where you are. I'm madder these days. So don't let anybody say, excuse me, I have something to attend to. What is it? Now tell us, I want to pray. You can pray where you are. Okay? Don't do this. Are you following what I'm saying here? There should be time to say, I've missed some time. I need a weekend. You know what? The way you have office work and you carry it home. I don't pray that for you. But you have things to do in the office tomorrow morning. And you get there early. Because you had missed something earlier in the day. That's the way you pray. Prayer is not a hobby. See, one of my hobbies is prayer. I know the kind of person. One of my hobbies is prayer. What are your hobbies? Bible study. So notice how the church in the book of Acts used to pray. Look at the kind of prayer. Today you see people come for prayer meeting. And they are praying like this. Say, brethren, who is holding your destiny? Prayer meeting. Who is holding your destiny? Today we are going to enter. We are about to enter into the throne room of heaven. And we are going to stay there and hold the seat of heaven like this. And say, God, you must change my destiny. And people will use 5 hours changing their destiny. How difficult is your destiny? I say, God, I say, you are not praying. You are not. If the tongue of life have hit you very well, you will pray. Say, brother, so. I say, you know, that man, they will find somebody in the Bible who looks like you. Say, he wept. Jabez. Talk about that name, Jabez. Say, you are Jabez. Say, do you not hold it? Say, yeah, Jacob, if you don't bless me. And they call that a prayer meeting. Three hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Say it must go. Oh God. Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 1. Verse 14. This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That means there was a common prayer point. Hallelujah. There was something they were praying about what concerned everyone. That was why on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled. They were not praying for things. No. How would you leave your house and come to the church to pray for things? You left your house to come to the service to be praying for car, house, and money. Look at chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread. And prayers. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. At the hour of prayer. Look at chapter 4. Verse 23. After they were threatened now, and being let go, they went to their own company. So their own company. And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now let's see. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. They were not praying to own things. No. Not at all. Look at chapter 6. And verse 4. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 6 and 4. Look at Acts chapter 8. Verse 15. Of course, this one is a very different one, but I just wanted to point it out to you. Acts 8 verse 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 8, 15. Look at the way they were praying. Look at Acts 9. This was Saul of Tarsus, who had just had an encounter with Christ. Acts 9, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prays. He prays. You see, prayer was not identified with ephemeral things. He was praying. The man was praying. Look at Acts 10. This was Cornelius in verse 3, who was not saved at this point. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. Then he says in the B part of verse 4, thy prayers and alms have come up for a memorial before God. Look at Acts 10 again and verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, that's now, and drew near to the city, Peter went up onto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He went to pray. Prayer became a lifestyle. He went up to pray. Look at Acts 13. So Acts 12, verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Something without ceasing. Of the church unto God for him. Without ceasing. Continually, they were praying. And by the time he got there, he met them in the house of Mary. Look at verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. What were they doing? Praying. This continued for days. When you say praying church, this is a praying church. For days. You will discover that all the prayers you have been reading is around the gospel. Either the influence of the gospel, or for ministers of the gospel, or for issues around the gospel. Look at Acts 13. Are you learning something here? Acts 13. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, a Manahin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I have called them. If there were many folks, as they heard that one, they would just go and eat. You just go on Facebook. Last night, 2 p.m. or 2 a.m., the Lord appeared to me. Look at what they did. Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, that is, they continued to fast and pray, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Can you see what they were praying about? Acts 14, verse 23. And when they had ordained the elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, to whom they believed. The gospel. Acts 16. When Paul and Silas were in prison, verse 25. At the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They prayed and sang praises. Prayer had become a culture. Acts 20. And Paul was to leave Ephesus. Acts 20. I'll read verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Remember what he had said before. I commend you to God, verse 2, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So, the prayer lives of men were built around the gospel. Did they pray for personal things? Of course, they must have. But what was prominent in their prayer lives was service. Look at 1 Timothy 5. So you see, somebody is prayerful. He's not prayerful because he prays for himself. He's prayerful because he prays for others. 1 Timothy 5. Are you learning something here? Are you learning something here? 1 Timothy 5. Look at it. A widow. Now, she, verse 5, there is a widow indeed. 1 Timothy 5, verse 5. A widow indeed. And desolate. Trusted in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What else? Continues in supplications and prayers. How? Night and day. Can you see it? That if you want to support widows, make sure they are prayerful ones. Not someone you just come. Ever since. Night and day. That means we know this woman. She's prayerful. Prayer meeting, she's there. You go to her home, she's praying for the ministers of the gospel, she's praying for the church, she's praying for believers in her zone, in her fellowship, she's praying for ministers of the gospel all over the place. It became a culture. So you are not prayerful because you know how to ask for things for yourself. Somebody who is not born again can do the same thing. There's nothing big in doing that. Praying for yourself. Abba. Abba. Even atheists pray. They find a way of asking somebody. A prayer life is a life that is built on the love of God for others. Don't forget. You learn to build a genuine prayer life. All around the gospel. Look at John 17. I showed you that on Sunday. That prayer Jesus prayed that we read on Sunday, where blood came out of his body. Can you remember? Can you remember? Blood. There was so much agony. Blood came out of his body. And he was crying. That's the word became flesh. You put your hands in your pocket. Magala. Go, go, go. Ge, ge, ge. Oh, yes. Thank you, Father. 5 minutes of speaking in tongues. You've needed your hands. Like a traffic warning. Oh, glory, glory. I remember one time, what you guys told me, that there was a prayer meeting. They were praying. The thing was dragging long. So when I came to meet, see you, I say, I sense in my spirit that the prayer has been answered. Was it? Because I sense in my spirit, God, the answer has come. There's a note of victory. Oh, my God, God. You discover that the way they were praying, it was not about answers. Hallelujah. No. That thing about praying, answers. Okay, well, has it come? Has bred believers into lazy believers. They just prayed. That is, for every activity you have in the work of the ministry, you pray. You keep, as you are preaching, you are praying. As you are planning, you are praying. As you are doing it, you are praying. You are in the health department. You are in the works department. You are praying. You are in the usher department. You are praying. As you are walking, you are praying. Hallelujah. As you are in the service, you are praying. As you are in the service, you are praying. It's not, prayer is not like a drug we use when we are not feeling fine. Prayer is like food. Prayer is work. It's something we always do. Hallelujah. It's not a reaction. It's not a problem solver. Prayer is fellowship. It's a lifestyle. The culture of a believer. Are you out there? If love is not seasonal, prayer cannot be seasonal. Look at Jesus' prayer life. What prayer did he pray that made blood come out of his body? John 17. Look at the pronouns. John 17. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray for them. For them which you have given me, for they are mine. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil one. Verse 17. Sanctify them through the truth, that thy word is truth. Verse 20. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them which shall believe on me through thy word. Their word. Verse 20. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them. That was what he was praying about. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold thy glory. This is the will of God already. This is what has been prophesied. Yet, Jesus commits it to prayer. This is something that has been prophesied. Yet, he puts it in prayer. How would you keep quiet in prayer? How would you keep quiet? How would you, prayer is not something you do when there is something that is a problem. No. Prayer is a culture. Look at the pronouns. I pray for them. I pray for them. What is it? Glorify thy son. How? In them. Prayer. He's praying. He wasn't asking for things. A wife. A child. Breakthrough. Or breakover. No. Hallelujah. Look at James 5. Verse 13. Is any of you afflicted? That means you are under persecution or hardship. Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and not in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's praying for yourself. He has said if there's any hardship, persecution, that's what the first one means. Pray. Then he says, if you are sick, let them pray for you. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Then he now says, in verse 16, the B part, pray one for another that you may be healed. Then he says, the effectual, notice that, pray one for another. Then he now says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. He used that phrase for praying for others. Then he mentioned Elijah. A man subject to like passions like we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained none upon the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth their fruit. Notice what he's emphasizing. He prayed again. So he's saying, learn that from Elijah. He's not asking you to be praying for rain. He's showing you something you know. That this man was given to prayer. Be given to prayer for others. A church that builds their members to always be praying for things is building selfish people. They will never understand the love of God. If they do, they will not understand it well. The love of God is about others. It's not about you. God's love towards you, you receive it, you understand it. All Christ has done. But God's love towards you is for others. And if you are fervent in spirit serving the Lord, you are motivated by prayer. When you pray like that, observe. I wrote something in my notes. I said, a church prayer meeting should be about service and training. Service and training. Obviously, you can pray in your house and pray for things. But when we come together, it's about others. Service and training. You know Jesus, I showed you on Sunday. Jesus, he took his disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration. They got there. And they were sleeping. They were sleeping. Somebody was saying, well, I think when you discover that people are sleeping, then it shows that you should change the kind of prayer meeting. You know, it's not just good for people to be sleeping. That means they are not learning. That means, you know, it's just, I said, that's psychology. Jesus took them again. Are you following what I'm saying? And they still slept. It's training. It's training. Your tongue will now become something else. La. Continue. There's nobody who has never slept in prayer meetings before. Whoever says that to you is sleeping. But you will grow. Are you following my point? You will grow. I remember one brother like that. He's a pastor today. Well, when in secondary school, he slept. You know, our prayer, our devotion is done in the prep class. No prep class. He slept in the prep class. We did devotion. The guy was sleeping. He was sleeping. So we stayed back to read. He was still sleeping. So I called guys and said, let's surround this guy. Will you be ready? Just go underwater. So guys are professional. There was a guy like that who were doing morning labor. I said they called us out very early. And he stood like this and slept off. And people left and he was like this alone. Remember one day like that in Deep Life Bible Church when I used to attend. A guy, he was expertly sitting there like this. He opened and he was dozing. And you think he's studying. So me and a dear friend of mine, we're not laughing. We're not concentrating. No. We're laughing. So the usher saw us. So as the usher moved near the guy and tapped him, he just shifted the feeling like this. Some guys are experts. Some folks are really experts. But you know something? If you keep at it, one day you will stop sleeping. Don't give up. Don't give up. One day you will stop. But do not stop it. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not like when you were in school and they gave you an assignment. You now score 8. You say, I'm not going to school. Why can I score 8 over 10? It cannot happen. It cannot. You know, when you enter university, everybody is always saying you're making first class. See, the first semester. Say, I'm here for first class. They've not had lectures, they're going to read. You've not had lectures, so they're going to read. I told them in my village. When I left my village, I promised them I'm making first class. After the, not the first semester, first test. Yeah? I remember faculty of law. The first test. 1, 0, 2. Yeah? People began to adjust their dreams. But you stay there. Hallelujah. You stay there. You don't. You stay there. You stay. You stay there. I told you the story when I went to Eyekori. And the way they were praying, I didn't prepare for this. I just thought we'll pray, sleep, hear the word, study some, fellowship. The prayer was as I'm leaving this place. No. And I argued myself that they should have told me, yes. God knows if I knew, I'll have prepared, I'll have prayed. So he knows I don't know. So therefore, he understands why I'm living now. You know, he argued. But I asked myself, if I leave, it's for whose advantage? I said, stay. I talked to myself. I said, stay. I said, look at this. And this is how I reason generally. I said, look at people who are praying. They are normal human beings. This one is a normal. This one doesn't have my strength. See how he's praying. I'll survive. I just joined. You'll be tired at the point. And you know, those kind of prayer meetings, If you're doing like this, somebody just come and hold you. But what's going on? You are being trained. Jesus trained them. He took them there. They will sleep. He will take them again. And it's just, I came out. Emoji, 1 hour. Said, Lord, what? I was just getting ready. I'm ready now. He came back again. And he had earphones inside, hearing the word. Say, I was meditating, sir. And your eye full of say, I was meditating, sir. No? What is in your eye? Your eye is red. Maybe it's a deep meditation, sir. I was going to prayer meeting and the eyes are just red. Say, emoji, agony, agony. But you know what? You are being trained. Later on, when I had the reason on my own to stay up praying for a whole day, I was grateful for Rema Chapel. I was grateful. Then you will be grateful. Hallelujah. You will be grateful. The same way today, you are grateful for your parents. You are grateful for your teachers who didn't give up on you. Look, many of us, when we were small, we just wish that, from primary school, can't they just give me a degree? You just grow up now and get a degree and I won't have to read. No, you go through the motion. Primary one, primary two, you go through it. It's training. So understand that. Prayer in church is training. It's also service. You are serving others. So in your mind, when you come for a church prayer meeting, look at the church. That is your role. That is your responsibility. That is your own ministry. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? Are you following what I'm saying tonight? So it's training. I close here. It's training. It's training and it's also service. That's what you are doing. You are being trained and then it's also service. So there's no point, you know, it will never, nobody is trained at his own convenience. So you will learn endurance. 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 What else do you learn? You learn how to follow God's plan for your life. Endurance. Hallelujah. You learn endurance. How to endure in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Sometimes people will hold your hand. They are helping you. They will help you to pray. Have you observed that when you attend prayer meetings like that, and you give yourself to it, it now reflects in your private prayer life. Have you observed that? You are now able to pray on your own. You can now pray. Don't trust a pastor who does not pray. Anybody who speaks low on prayer does not love you. Prayer is ministry. Prayer demonstrates our love for others when we pray for them. Notice what they were praying for and what Paul asked to be prayed for. One, just pray for preachers. We saw that Romans 15, verse 30 and 31. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians 6, 19. Colossians 4, 3, 2 and 3. You pray for ministry. You pray for fellow believers all over the world. The moment people are found in your church, in your zone, in your department, they have become your prayer points. The moment you reach out to somebody and the person is born again through you, he has become your prayer point. The moment they hand over someone to you, he has become your prayer point. So those who don't have believers to pray for are those who are lazy Christians and irresponsible. Pray for them. As a pastor, you take up the culture to pray. You pray. It's a ministry. It's service. That's love. You don't need to ask people what they are going through before you pray for them. No. Pray. See, I'm a man of prayer. I'm a minister of prayer. One last scripture before we close tonight. Colossians 4. Are you learning something? Colossians 4. Imagine if we gisted, if we gave gist less about other believers and prayed more. When you pray for people, you don't have gist about them. There's just something that will capture your gist meter. Your gisto ability. You'll just not be able to join in a gist. Colossians 4:12. Are you there? Let's take it together. Hey boy, let's go. Epaphras, which is one of you, a servant of Christ. Say, I'm a servant of Christ. Say, I'm a servant of Christ. Salutes you always, praying fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hallelujah. Every believer needs this prayer. And you can pray that prayer. There's no place that says you pray for Nigeria's economy. There's nowhere. Pray for our leaders that God should touch their hearts. There's nowhere. All the prayers, including the 1 Timothy 2 prayer, say we will have all men to be saints and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. For there's one Lord and mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So if you stop in verse 1 and you don't go to verse 4, 5 and 6, you are reading something else. I am a minister of the gospel. I am a servant of Christ. I pray for believers. I serve the church. Hallelujah. Let's just pray some. Just pray some. Hold someone beside you. Just pray for the person. Pray for the person. Let's pray. Let's just pray for one another.